Hello, my cozy witchy friends, and welcome to episode number 55 of the Comfy Cozy Witch podcast with me, Jenny Blonde, the Comfy Cozy Witch. And thank you for being here with me today. I am excited to be wherever you are with you while you are listening to this. And I'm just thrilled that I am at a good place and have time that I can really sit down and record an episode for you all. And before we get into today's topic, which is all about journeying or hedge riding, hedge crossing, and my experiences with that, I want to share with you what is making me feel comfy, cozy, and witchy. So I currently am at a witchy writing retreat in the woods. I know I've talked about it before. In fact, I'm pretty sure it's been my comfy, cozy, witchy segment a couple of times here over the years. But I am, again, in this sacred, beautiful forest space in the middle of the Poconos on this retreat. I had a lot going on. I was doing a lot of deadlines or having to hit a lot of deadlines with books, with things, new fun things that I can't wait to talk about hopefully one day that I've been sending my agent, busy with the shop, that I needed a time to just reconnect to myself, reconnect to my spiritual path, reconnect to my innate witchcraft. And the only time to do that was this week. So I actually was able to book a stay last Monday. So less than a week ago. And so I'm here in my little witchy cabin in the woods. If you've been following my Instagram stories, and if you haven't, I urge you to do so. I've been posting all sorts of content from the bunny rabbits who have breakfast every morning outside one of my cabin windows. They sit on this little rock and they get up on their hind legs or little hind paws and they nibble on branches and leaves and little berries that hang down from a tree. So it's so cute. They're up on their little legs just eating their food, their breakfast. And I've seen them every morning. In fact, when I first arrived here, the first thing I saw was a bunny. I got out of my car to unpack my belongings and immediately a little rabbit crossed my path. And I thought, ooh, this is going to be a fun journey. And it's interesting because when I come here, when I go on any sort of retreat like this, I like to ask spirit and my guides ahead of time to show me, you know, what I need to focus on a retreat. And I specifically ask them to put a particular animal in my path. And they did. They did that last time as well. They did it this time, two different animals, which was just so magical. And I am here for the full moon in Scorpio. Last night at 7:49, the moon reached her fullness and I was able to sit on my front little porch. There's two rocking chairs with a little table on my porch, my cabin porch. I was able to sit on my front porch and directly in front of me is where the moon was rising. And again, if you were able to catch some of my stories, I posted about it. I posted, I think, three times because I sat outside from about 7:49 to 9 o'clock until it had risen in the air. And I did just, you know, a short ritual, a gratitude ritual, because just being here, there's so much to be grateful for. I did a gratitude ritual. I did a little meditation. And then I actually came into my cabin and I wrote a meditation for Underneath the Moon because I was just so inspired by the pink moon. And, you know, I've talked about it before. I don't always celebrate the full, the new moons, the Esbats. if I'm not at a place where I can, or mentally, physically, energetically, you know, I'm drained and just can't put forth the effort. But last night I was finally, after truly, it's been a few months, in a really good space for the full moon where I could appreciate her and I could really take the time to focus on a little bit of ritual. And it felt so good. And I, you know, I need this time away. I know that many of you out there need that headspace to kind of get away from life, to jump back into your practice. And I talk a lot about finding little ways that we can connect to our practice on a daily basis. And that's, I mean, that's the biggest part of my practice, because I am so busy. A business owner, a writer, I do my podcast, a mom, a friend, wife, you know, all of these roles that I play, sometimes I'm not able to really sit down and be present in my practice. And so I get out here in nature, I get out to this cabin, I go on these retreats so I can kind of have a reset. And I feel so much gratitude and privilege that I can do this, that I have mountains basically in my backyard, that I don't have to travel far, and that I can do this. But you know, even if you can get out in nature, or even, my gosh, pitch a tent with a witchy spiritual friend and get out in nature for a night at a local state park, it's amazing how you can just reconnect to yourself, reconnect to nature, reconnect with your magical practice, just by taking that time. So you don't have to go on any fancy retreat or go away for days and days at a time. You know, this can be done overnight, even in your backyard, being in nature or finding a local park. So I know this is what I do. I go off on a tangent, but I am here just thinking about how good it has felt to reconnect. And I went back in my Book of Shadows over and I read through the last time I was visiting here and how I felt, and how when I arrived, I was just so exhausted. And I basically wrote the same thing at the beginning of this retreat, just how I was so exhausted. I felt disconnected from my sacred space, disconnected from my practice, and I needed to do something. I needed to go somewhere to do something, to make a shift, and to really reflect and meditate on, when I get back home, how can I keep this magic momentum and move forward with my spiritual practice? Because I cannot only just connect here and then go home and it disappears. So I'm trying to find a way to find that balance. And here, you know, I've been on my journey for almost my entire life, and I've written books and I have the podcast, but I struggle to connect at times, just as many of you do. Oh my gosh, there's a cardinal. There is a cardinal that it just flew right in front of me. And it's so funny because yesterday in one of my journeys, I was connecting with the goddess Aunia. And Aunia, it's spelled A-I-N-E. She's a Celtic goddess. And she told me in the journey that she would connect with me and show me that she's here by a red feather. And right in front of me, this is the first cardinal I've seen on my entire trip up here in the woods. And it flew right past my cabin window as I'm saying this. So just magic is surrounding me. And anyway, where was I going with that? Oh, so I'm trying to find a way to bring back this magic. And I've been writing down, taking notes, meditating, and getting some great information from my guides and from nature on how I can do that and how I need to slow down. Because, you know, if you've listened to me for 4 years, I think by now you know how I work. I get really, really excited about something and, oh, I'm going to do this, and I launch this new thing, and then I burn myself out. And, you know, the last few weeks I've been so busy getting that new space in my shop set up that I just completely shut down. I needed to get out of town, get out of my shop for a little bit, my shop that I love going to so much. And so now, you know, I'm sitting and reflecting on how can I baby step, tiptoe into adding these services to my shop. I have a massage therapist now. Maybe I start with her doing massage therapy, and here and there I'll jump in and do some magical mentorship, healing sessions. It's not a race to the finish line. What? It's not a sprint. This is a marathon, a lifelong marathon, and I can really take my time. So I guess that's what I'm learning being up here. It's just not learning. It's a reminder. I'm being reminded just to slow down. And we are in the season of energy and doing and growth and going. But if we do all of that too fast, we'll suffer in the end. So this was just the reset, the recharge, and the reminder from my guides that I needed. So all of that to say, being up here, finding ways to reconnect to my craft, that is what currently is making me feel comfy, cozy, and witchy. So I am pleased, beyond pleased, and excited to again be partnering with Autumn Mystics as a sponsor of this episode. As I said in the last episode, I had a tarot reading done by Kate that brought some great revelations. But today I wanted to talk about the astrology reading I had by Elle. Elle practices tropical astrology, and as you know, I know the basics of astrology. I am not an expert. And when Elle started talking to me about my chart and things that were happening in my life, things clicked for the first time that they hadn't when I had had other astrological readings. And I have to say, she knows her stuff. And so I just wanted to share that with you all. As I've said before, those who sponsor my podcast, I vet first. I make sure that I get a reading so I can accurately refer them to all of you. And Elle did just a fantastic job. And so again, I just wanted to do a quick little shout out and thank you to Autumn Mystics. And if you would like to book a tarot, astrology, or even a numerology reading with them, you can go to autumnmystics.com/bookings. All right, so today I'm going to chat with you a bit about a topic that is near and dear to me and a topic that I haven't yet shared about, although many people have asked me to, because to me, it's a topic that is personal in nature, and it's all about spiritual journeying or hedge riding, hedge crossing, whatever you might want to call it. It's called many different things, shamanic journeying in different cultures. And the reason that I chose to share it with you is because yesterday afternoon when I was in a trance-like state and I was journeying on my front porch with the birds chirping in the background, and I had like my, I had some Celtic witchy music going as well. I was told that I needed to share this, that there were many people out there who wanted to hear this, and it was part of my path, part of my journey to share my experiences with you. So this is not an episode where I'm going to teach you how to journey, because that has been something that I learned over many months, actually many years, and something that I continue to hone and develop in my personal practice. In fact, I just took a course in the fall and did another journey through that course while I was here. It was a course through my friend Celeste. And so this is not something that can be taught in one podcast episode, but I want to tell you about what journeying is and how it might differ from, say, meditation or path walking or guided meditations and what it is exactly. So spiritual journeying, hedge riding, it has multiple meanings and it's done differently in different cultures across the world. But basically, when you are journeying, you are straddling our physical world and the world of the unseen or the other world. So this hedge, when you hear the word hedge, like in hedge riding, the hedge on one side of the hedge is our real, tangible, everyday world. On the other side of the hedge is the other world where you are connected to spirits, to ancestors, where you might encounter your guides, deities, sovereign beings, etc. And so that hedge represents a physical and psychic, like protective boundary that separates the spirit world from the human world. And when you hear the term hedge witches, it's said that they are hedge riding or riding the hedge, straddling the hedge, because they're crossing that veil into the spirit world. So when you do journeying, when you do spiritual journeying, you are in your body, but you're also in the other world. I was going to say in another world, but yeah, in the other world. So this riding and journeying is a spiritual journey into the other world realms while you still do have a foot here in reality. Now, there are some people and belief systems that believe that hedge riding and journeying, you have the ability to be disconnected from your physical body and kind of get stuck in another world. I haven't experienced that. That's not really part of my beliefs or my experiences. In fact, when I was doing a short journey this morning, I thought I'm in a good trance-like state. I went to my anchor place or place of power or sacred space within the other world, you know, whatever you call it. And I was in there. I was talking to two of my guides. Like, we were in conversation. We were next to a creek. There's a creek that goes through my sacred space in the other world. And we were just talking. We were chit-chatting, having a conversation. And all of a sudden, I hear the door of the cabin next to me shut as a woman was like coming back to the cabin with her coffee all bundled up. And it actually broke me out of the journey. And that does not happen often. Usually I'm in it, but my eyes flew open. Like, there are times where I cannot open my eyes when I'm journeying. But my eyes flew open and I was very much aware, okay, I'm still in reality here too. This is not the time to be journeying. I clearly wasn't as in it as I thought I was. Now, I will say I was able to jump right back in a matter of like 3 to 5 minutes. I was able to jump right back into my sacred place and interact with my two main guides. But anyway, all that to say, well, I don't even know what I'm saying because you know how I go off on tangents. And I want to say quickly too, to those of you who are listening, who are newer to your witchcraft practice and newer on your spiritual journey, this episode is not your typical super beginner friendly episode. Journeying is something that I have built up to over the years. It took years of me meditating, doing guided meditations, being able to calm myself down enough and not still my mind, but just be very present in my mind and free from distractions, even though that happened this morning, but free from distractions in order to journey. So this is something that this may not be like a super beginner episode, but if you're journeying curious, this is a good starting place for you to understand kind of what it is. So this is shamanic in nature, but there are differences between journeying, between doing shamanic journeying and doing meditation. Because when we think of like shamanic journeying, you're at times retrieving, you're retrieving souls and spirits and relaying messages to them from our world and kind of bringing them from one world to another. However, when I journey, I'm going into the other world and I don't have any power over where exactly I end up or who I encounter. And I certainly don't bring anyone or anything back to me. When I journey, I go to these spaces so I can meet with my guides, I can get spiritual guidance, I can work on spells, different symbols and runes and types of divination I should work on or plants that I should be working with, they're revealed to me through my guides. It's where I go when I want to meet and have a larger discussion with a deity. I talked to Artemis the other day for quite a while, and I see Artemis as I envision her to be. You might see her differently. Her energy might come across differently, but I see her, you know, as I understand that archetype of Artemis. So it's where I go to do those things, to learn, to meet with mentors, to meet with allies, to meet with those on my support team and to get guidance about what I should do in the other world and what else, what I can do in the tangible human world, to help build my spiritual practice. I've also gone into journeys to ask my guides for guidance when it comes to other people and how I should help other people in whatever situation they're in. Because I know when I go into a journey and I go to my sacred space, my place of power, my anchor point, whatever it is you want to call it, that those who need to connect with me will find me there. So I hope this is making sense so far, because there's so much to it. So to journey, you have to enter an altered state of consciousness. And this can be done using a variety of techniques. A lot of people like drumming, you know, and I'm doing this right now on my desk, so sorry if that's annoying, but they'll do a drumming that has the same rhythm over and over again. And kind of like, you know, when you zone out, you're kind of like in your own little world, you're zoning out. That's an altered state of consciousness right there. But you can get there through drumming. You can get there through chanting, through breath work, through dancing and movement, through swaying. A lot of people like to sway, through ringing, like jingling bells. In fact, I have two things that I use if I'm by myself. If I don't have like a soundtrack or music with me, I have a protection jar that was made by a wise woman that I got in the woods years ago. One of the little witchy cabinets in the woods. And it has two bells on it. And actually I have it here. I'm going to grab it really quick so you can hear it. Let me just grab it. So here it is. Here are the bells. I'm going to just ring it. So I'll hold it in my hand and I'll shake it. That's what I used, partly used this morning. So you can use that. In the past, people have used mind-altering drugs. However, I don't use that and I don't suggest that, only because I don't like my mind being altered. I like to be in a good state of mind So I don't have even wine or a drink or any sort of drug that could change my state of mind if I'm going to journey. I just think that that makes you a little bit more vulnerable. But again, people can do what they want. Also, the flying ointments that you've heard of, and you can look them up on your own because I'm not going to talk in detail about them because this, my podcast is rated for all ages, but there is a flying ointment that was used to help, which is fly the hedge in the past. But, you know, all of these techniques can be used to help you get into that altered state of consciousness. And I will say, if you have never even meditated before, you're going to want to start with basic meditation before entering a state of consciousness where you can then journey, because you need to be able to focus the mind well enough and long enough to stay in your journeys. My journeys typically last anywhere from like 8 minutes to 20, maybe 25 minutes. So I don't journey for long periods at a time. That's just been my experience. Oftentimes when I'm in a journey, I don't know how much time has gone by until I finish. And I look at, if I have like a soundtrack playing in the background, I look at how much time has gone by on that soundtrack, and then I can see. So yesterday I thought I was in a journey for like a half an hour, and I came out of it and it was 14 minutes. So you kind of lose track of time. Okay, so what else do I want to talk about this? So when the way I believe journeying works, and my beliefs in the other world, that there are three realms or three worlds within the other world. You have the lower world, you have the middle world, and then you have the upper world. And in each world, different entities, different spirits reside. And this, what resides in what world and which world, varies from practitioner to practitioner. There are some practitioners who, when they go to the lower world, that's where they encounter their guides, the fae, and can meet their animal, like their animal guides. For me, the lower world tends to be where I can meet with some of my ancestors. And I'm not talking like the lower world as you think of like heaven or hell. It's just one of three worlds where you're able to connect to different spirits. In that lower world, that's typically where I can connect to ancestors. And that is where some deities do reside, deities of the underworld. If you're working with Hades or Persephone, that's where they can reside. Then your middle world. The middle world for me is where my guides like to hang out, but it's also where I have encountered the fae folk and fairies, and that's where I also think that you can encounter more mischievous beings. So the middle world, I think, is also a world, well, they all the worlds parallel ours. All other worlds kind of are parallel to ours. But the middle world, I'm often careful whenever I'm journeying there. I'm going to tell you, most of my journeying happens within my sacred space in the other world. So when I first am in like a trance-like state and I've already envisioned, I've centered, I've grounded, I've envisioned protection around me, and I've opened my door to go into the other world, I immediately enter my sacred space. And from that sacred space, I can access the three worlds from my sacred space. And my sacred space has been protected. It has been reinforced over the years. It was, again, reinforced when I took that workshop in, what was it, the fall before Samhain. It's been reinforced. And then from that sacred space, I think people call it their anchor point, their place of power. That's where I then can access the upper middle, or lower. But I tend to stay in my sacred space. I tend to stay there and ask my guides to come meet me there, because I've already made the intention known and made it set that only the guides of the highest good can meet me in my space. And in my space, like, I'm not going to describe it in detail because that is sacred to me. I'm also not going to share with you the names or the animals of two of my guides, because one of them specifically asked me not to. Like, I mean, was very firm that I cannot. But that's where I meet with these guides. And in there, there's a bench, there's a cottage. Like I said, there's a creek. I'm not going to go into details, but I will work with my guides and I will plant specific offerings. I will plant offerings. I will bake bread. I will do things while I am journeying to set out for my guides. I know some of you listening to this, again, who are newer to me, newer to the podcast, newer to witchcraft or a spiritual practice in general, are probably like, what is she talking about? This is like way out there. What is she talking about? But just stick with me, you know, because one day you might build up to this and might be like, okay, I'm ready to journey to get to know my guides and get to know my spiritual self even better than through meditation or through work in our human world. So anyway, I tend to meet with my guides and we just kind of hang out. I'll ask for creativity, inspiration. I'll ask for ideas for new projects. As you know, I have projects on my mind all the time. I'll go to this space to help me with that. I'll ask for guidance. When I've gone to the upper world, that's when I wish to connect to a deity or some sort of higher being. So if I want to connect with an angel guide in the upper realm, the upper world, as I know it, in my other world, the way I envision it, there's also the Palace of Crystals. That's where I have interacted with crystal energy. The middle world is where I've interacted with plant energy and herbs and oils. And the lower world is where I've interacted with ancestral energy. So that's the way I see it. Like I said, everybody sees it differently. Norse tradition has 9 different worlds within the other world. Other traditions have 6. When you think of druidry and the journeying of druids, everything is in 3s. There's 3 worlds, the 3 worlds that I'm talking of, because, you know, a lot of my practice does come from that particular path. But like I said before, I tend to stay within my little sacred space in the world, and I will invite my guides in, and I will also invite guides, ancestors, deities to leave me signs in the real world. And in my journey work, that's where I don't want to use the word negotiate, but that's where I've set intentions with these guides, saying, or expectations, I guess, like, hey, I want you to show me this. So let me talk about this. So let me go into this story about Anya really quick. So I came here. Well, I was here on a writing retreat, and I'm going to look in my book. This was in November. It was right before the American Thanksgiving in November. And when I do journey work, I like to reflect afterward. I always reflect. I write down what I saw in as much detail as possible. I have a separate notebook just for journeying, actually. And I've had a few of them. I don't even know what number this is, but they go fast because I write a lot and I journey. I like to journey frequently. So at the end of every journey, I would say 85% of the time, I will do a card pull just for clarification or just to kind of sum up my journey. And at the end, my last journey, when I was here at my last witchy writing retreat, I pulled the rune Algaes. And that is all about your higher self, getting to know your higher self. It's about security with your path, with your spiritual journey. And it's about guardianship, those looking over you and working with your guides and those who are guarding you. So I even wrote, I'm looking at it right now, I wrote perfect, period. Like that was the perfect way to end my retreat, to do my final journey while I was on that particular retreat. Fast forward, we're now, what, 6 months later, 5-6 months later, and I came back to the same place. I am staying in the same cabin, and I want to read you what I wrote when I got here the other day and I did my first journey while here. Not since then, but, you know, my first journey while back here in the same place. I wrote, wow, 3 exclamation points. It's 5 months later, and I'm sitting here once again at blank. Where I am, and reading through my notes from the last journeying, the last time I was here. Last time I ended with algaes as my card. And this morning after my journey, what card do you think I pulled? Algaes. Picking up right where I left off, I can't get over how my guides and how the spirit works through this. I am truly in awe. Meant to be here and to be journeying with, and then I named my guides because I'd had some questions through journeying I was doing at home, and that just confirmed, I just got the confirmation that I needed for a couple of things. So I, out of 74 card deck, I pulled the same exact card and I was just like, wow, you can't make this up. And I was just in so much awe. And so later that first day, I went out in the afternoon. It was a beautiful afternoon, a little bit windy. I lit some incense. I got my jar with the bells. Here it is. Oh, and I always hold on to another artifact. I'm not going to name it, but you know, anytime I journey, there's something that helps me and protects me when I go. Some people like to have a stone. You might have a stone or a crystal or a piece of bone or something that kind of grounds you, but also protects you while you're there, as well as your guides protecting you. So I went back into this meditation and this journey, and I journeyed again to my sacred space, and I met up with my two best guides, and I said, hey, do you want to come with me to the upper world? Because I know I need to meet with Artemis. And I met with Artemis, and she basically said, I don't know what your problem is, but you have been given so many signs, like more signs than you can count, by Anya. And you need to pay attention to her. Like, this is getting ridiculous. Like, Artemis is pretty strict with me. And Artemis has worked with me. I've talked about this before for years and years and years. She is my go-to deity. I don't know exactly why. I should ask her that at some point, but she's the one that is always with me. And so I got out of the meditation and I'm thinking about all of these things. And I realize, oh my gosh, at my shop, I ordered a gypsum sculpture of Aunia and the Celtic goddess Aunia. I ordered a sculpture of her. They accidentally sent me 2 in this last shipment from this company. I had ordered a Caradwyn, Morrigan. They sent me another Aunia. They sent me a third Aunia, and she's sitting there and she's sitting, her legs are crossed, and she holds a heart because she is a Celtic goddess of fertility, of love, of midsummer, of the sun, of vibrance, of sovereignty. And this is what she's the goddess of. And of the fairies. Okay. And the goddess of the fae, Tuatha De Nann. So she was part of that fae race. And I've been told, I've talked about this before a number of times, that there's like fae blood in me. So she had been reaching out, trying to connect with me for months now, and I had been completely ignoring her. And then I realized, oh my gosh, you know, although she comes in the form of a red mare, she will also present herself through hairs, through a number, like abundance. Because she's fertility, an abundance of rabbits. And I was like, oh my gosh, as soon as I walked on campus as soon as I walked to my retreat. That's all I saw. I have been seeing literally everywhere. And I sat down at dinner the other night and I said, hey, are you all seeing tons of rabbits? Because I know it's the season, so you can chalk it up. I mean, yeah, it is the season. We're going to see rabbits. And they're like, no, I haven't seen any while I'm here. And I'm literally, I've seen multiple today. One sits in the path right in front of my cabin. Two eat outside. It is nonstop. And I've been posting pictures. And when I scroll through my phone, picture after picture after picture. So I'm like, oh, great. Anya is trying to connect. And then when I did another journey to talk to her specifically, she said, basically, you need to watch out for those red feathers. And as I recorded the beginning of this episode, as you know, a cardinal flew right in front of me. The first cardinal I saw the whole time I'm up here in the mountains. The first cardinal, I mean, huge flash of red, sat on the white birch in front of me and then flew directly in front of my porch. So anyway, that's been my experience. That's just a little bit about journeying, hedge riding, crossing the hedge. There's so much more that I can dive into. And maybe I will on a different episode. Maybe, you know, eventually maybe I'll talk about preparing for it. Maybe this should be a series for those of you who want to kind of level up a little bit and want to try something like that. Let me know. Let me know your thoughts if you want to hear more about this, about my experiences, ones that I'm willing and allowed to share with you. Or like the differences between meditation, which, you know, when you're meditating, you're just kind of, you're not shutting off your mind, but you're allowing thoughts to come to your mind and then leave. Thoughts to come and then leave. So you can, it's easier for you to get and receive and accept messages. Because when you're in a journey, that's what you need to do. You need to be so present within that other world so you can pick up on all of the messages and all of the signs. And I'm going to say one more thing before I end this, because this is going to end up being an hour again. Because I know many of you are thinking this. But Jenny, how can you journey with aphantasia? How can you journey when you have told us you don't have the ability to visualize things in your head? And I know I'm part of the 2% or 1% of the population who has that aphantasia where I can't visualize things. The thing about journeying is it's not guided. So when I'm doing a guided meditation and someone is telling me, okay, visualize a stream on your right and a cottage to your left, and you're coming upon a big mountain, I have to kind of repeat those words to myself in order to visualize it. I'm not actually visualizing these things. It's just like a knowing, okay? So I'm telling myself the story almost. So when I journey, because there's no story to be told. There's no pre-constructed visual. For me, it comes back to claircognizance and an inner knowing. And I think over the years working on my intuitive abilities, specifically my clear sense of inner knowing, I just know these things to be true. And that's the only way I can describe it. I don't see, when I am journeying and I go to my sacred space, I don't see in my mind's eye my cottage or the meadow sweet growing, or I know, I just know it's there. I know for a fact that to my left is the creek. I know for a fact that X spot, and I'm not going to tell you where it is or what it looks like, but that is how I access the upper world. I know for a fact that right here and doing this thing, that is how I access the lower world. So for me, having aphantasia, personally, I think makes my journeying more powerful because I don't visualize. Because I know a lot of people ask, well, how do I know if I'm imagining something or if it's an actual journey? And for me, I don't even have to ask that question because I can't see it anyway. I just know it to be true. And I guess when it comes to any spiritual practice or even a religion or belief system or whatever path you follow, that's where faith comes in.
It's that blind faith and faith that what you know is true. And I'm going to end it right there with you thinking about that. Let's go into the card pull of the episode. All right, now on to the card pull of the episode. The deck I'm using today was created, and I'm really excited to tell you about it, was created by a friend, and I would actually call her a teacher of mine as well, Charlene Windus. She created this beautiful Sacred Reflections Oracle deck, and the illustrations are by Angela Santiago. And I have always just appreciated Charlene's work over the years. I have taken some courses by her and just interacted with her. And she really is just such a light and a wonderful being in our community. And so she released the Sacred Reflections Oracle a little bit ago. And so I thought I would choose a card from that. And I am going to tell you ahead of time, I selected this card. I grabbed this card specifically out of the deck. I'm not doing a blind card pull this week because I was looking through the cards just, you know, after I recorded that last part. And I thought, you know what? This is the message that needs to be sent out, especially considering the content of that episode. So, sorry, I hope that you can still hear me. I had to put the phone down for a second. The card is spiritual support. You have allies in the spirit realm. I mean, how great is that for this episode about journeying? And I love this card because you have the golden edges. It's like the rainbow gold, and there are trees, and there's a path winding through the forest. And I know many people who actually get to their sacred space in their journeys by going on a path that's similar to that. But let's hear a little bit about the action to take in support of this card. You are never alone on your journey through life. The spirit realm is filled with allies, guides, and loved ones who watch over and support you. Lean on your spiritual allies, speak to them, and feel their presence in moments of solitude or stillness. You are part of an incredible continuum of love and guidance that stretches beyond this earthly existence. You can access this support whenever you choose by inviting your highest good spiritual allies to be with you. Connect in ways that resonate and align with you. Communication with your spiritual allies can occur in your dreams, through meditation and symbolism, or by simply placing your hands on your heart and tuning in to your heart. You can also get there through journeying. You are spiritually supported, guided, and loved for who you are in every moment. And I do really like that message, and I think it really applies to this episode. So I'm sitting here, I'm looking out the window. It's about 20 minutes before lunch. And oh my gosh, a blue jay. Oh, beautiful, just flew in front of me now. Oh my gosh, absolutely gorgeous. Oh, I don't want to leave. I actually added on another day to my stay. So I'm leaving tomorrow. I was supposed to leave this morning, but I was not meant to leave yet. My work was not done, and I just knew that. And my cabin happened to be open one day, one extra day, and the other ones were not. So I was able to stay. It was meant to be. But while I was here, I said I recorded a full moon meditation for my Mugwort and Rosemary Patreon friends. So those of you who are in my Patreon and subscribe at those tiers, you can access it. You know how to access that, patreon.com/comfycozywitch. And if the Patreon is something that you would like to support, it supports me, it supports the podcast, it supports everything that I do in my work, you can join at patreon.com/comfycozywitch. And the tiers go from $3 to $15, and you get all sorts of different goodies throughout the month. And again, the most recent two this week, I did a card pull for the week ahead. And I also did the guided meditation that I wrote and recorded and sent this morning. And that was a lot of fun. So I just want to do a quick shout out to those of you who have reviewed and rated and left comments about the podcast. So thank you to Kaya Marley. You're very new to the witchy lifestyle, and it's nice to have a matriarch helping you through some questions, but you feel overwhelmed. So I'm so glad that you found this. Next one is Jay, a lot of O's, Jay. Thank you for all your guidance and insights on the podcast. Not completely out of the broom closet, but getting back in touch with your true self. I love that. I love that so much. So thank you. Witch with red hair. You ran across this podcast a few months ago and you tend to binge listen. Jenny is laid back and love that she keeps it real with glimpses into her life with her fur babies and child. Yes, absolutely. And for some reason, I can never see the rest of the reviews. I used to be able to, but I don't know why. Not anymore. So anyway, thank you all for joining me. You can find me on Instagram at Comfy Cozy Witch, at patreon.com/comfycozywitch, or you can email me at comfycozywitch@gmail.com. And thank you everybody for being with me. And until next episode, stay comfy, cozy, and witchy.